Go ahead and invite you, encourage you to take your copy of Scripture to open to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 20 this morning. And I would invite you, if you are able, to stand in honor of reading God's Word. Luke chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 20. And the text reads, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, for you. You will find a baby wrapped in the swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased,'" or whom He is pleased. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it was told to them." Would you be seated as we pray? Father, we do love you and we thank you for this day that we can come and worship you. I pray that as we study this passage, that you give us clarity and understanding. And I pray that you give me the ability to speak your truth and nothing but the truth. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So over the last few weeks, we've been going through the four songs that are found in the first few chapters of the book. We'll finish the last song next Sunday. And I've been calling these the first Christmas carols. They are the praising God for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so today we're looking at the song that the angels sung over the shepherds. The theme of the passage really can be found in the angels' declaration, their announcement that we see in verse 11, where it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This statement is at the very heart of the gospel message. And in this passage, Luke is pointing to Jesus the Messiah, and he does that really in three different scenes. So we'll break this up in three different scenes. The first we'll see in verses 8 through 9, where it speaks to us as sinners. And the second scene is between 10 and verses 10 and 14. And this really reveals the gospel to us and the glorious aspects of the gospel. And then the final scene, the third scene, is verses 15 through 20, which shows us how we are to respond to this message, to the message of the gospel. So the birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus, is the greatest good news that the world has ever heard. The birth of any child is a wonderful thing. It's something that we celebrate, we get excited about. We're anxious about. We look forward to that time. We want to, when the time comes, we want to share it with the world, don't we? We update everybody on the progress of the pregnancy, and once you go to the hospital, you're up, everybody's texting everybody, how much longer, how's everybody feeling? Everybody shows up and they wait in the waiting room. It's an exciting time. You call all your family, you let them know, you're posting everything on social media. I remember when Madison was born, she took forever. It was over 24 hours, and I was expecting it to be like, you go in, 30 minutes, in and out, right? And so the fact that I thought that, and the fact that she said no, I was kind of anxious. I was pacing the floor. I was up and down. I was asking Casey, how are you doing? She was kind. But by the time, you know, the second and third one come, I think during the second one I was doing defensive driving online. Well, anyway. But for this particular birth, this is the greatest story ever told. And if I was going to announce this birth, this particular birth, I think that I would announce it to the religious elites in the area. I would tell the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, that the one they've been waiting for is now here. But we see in this first scene that how gracious God is to sinners, to the lowly and to the humble. And the first thing that we see is that the angels are sent to shepherds. The angels were not sent to kings sitting on imperial thrones, nor to generals that the head of an army, nor to the intellectuals, the philosophers studying complexities of logic. The great good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, that He has so loved the world and now He has given His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. That great news is announced to shepherds. And shepherds were near the bottom of the social ladder. They were a lowly and even despised group of people. They were even thought to be on par with a tax collector. They were considered untrustworthy. They held a near universal contempt. The rabbis wouldn't even they prohibited people from buying wool or milk from them or meat. They assumed that it had been stolen. Shepherds were uneducated and unskilled. They were viewed as dishonest, unreliable, foul, dirty characters. So much so that they could not even testify in a court of law or attend a worship service in the temple. But Jesus' ministry would not be to the self-righteous, especially the religious leaders, or the self-sufficient wealthy. Instead, He would seek out the poor, the lowly, the afflicted, the outcast of society. And the shepherds did indeed represent the outcast and sinners whom Jesus had come for. Jesus says later in Luke chapter 5, says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So He came for sinners, those that were outside of the group. But there is another reason why the announcement of the birth of Christ was given to shepherds. You see, the job of a shepherd was to guard the flock. The job of a shepherd is to protect them from being attacked by wild animals or being taken by thieves. Their job was to, to lead their flock to green pastures, to the food and water. In fact, two of the greatest figures in Israel's history were shepherds. Moses at one time was a shepherd. He was keeping the flock of his father-in-law when the angel of the Lord came upon the burning bush. Israel's greatest king, from whom the Messiah would descend, King David, was a shepherd. The Old Testament refers to God as the shepherd of Israel. See, really, it foreshadows how God will care for His people. Pastors are to shepherd the flock. We are to lead you to green pastures. We are to lead you and to feed you and to protect you. But ultimately, the reason why the announcement of the birth of Christ was given to the shepherds is because the Lord is a shepherd. Jesus described Himself as the good shepherd. He came to tend His flock and to lead His people to green pastures and quiet waters. The message of Christmas is that Jesus Christ, the Shepherd King, came for you. His birth, the first Christmas, was for shepherds, not kings. It was for outsiders, not the elites. It was for sinners in need of a Savior. For you and for me. And what a shocking announcement it must have been. It was in the middle of the night. Notice at the end of verse 8, the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. So these watches that the shepherds would have at night, they would come together as one sheepfold from multiple flocks, but they would come together at night to kind of work as a team to protect the sheep. And they would divide the night into shifts, into various watches, and they would take turns. So during one shift, some shepherds would sleep while the others would stay awake and attend the flock and watch over the flock. So most of the shepherds would be asleep during this time. And there may be a one or two staying up to tend the flock. And you have to remember there was no street lights. This is before electricity. In the middle of the night, it was country dark. You know, it was truly a silent night. It was a great night. But the tranquility of the shepherd's night was abruptly shattered in a most dramatic and unexpected way. While they were doing their normal job, while they were tending the flock and resting during the long hours of the night, verse 9 tells us an angel of the Lord appeared to them. So adding to the shepherd's shock and terror at the angel's appearance, verse 9 also says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. I can't imagine how terrifying this moment must have been for the shepherds. In fact, it tells us they were filled with great fear. Now, this was not to reveal the cowardliness of the shepherds. Shepherds were not weak people. The job of a shepherd required them to be strong and courageous. Shepherds were manly men. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David says to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And there went, when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." Sounds like something I would do. So shepherds were brave people. They were strong people. They had to be to survive. They had to be to, for their flock to survive. So when the angel appeared before the shepherd, they did not stand guard though. They were not ready to defend their flock. Instead, when the glory of the Lord shone up around them, the dark of the night was gone. And because of the shining light of the glory of the Lord appearing before them, instead of guarding the flock, they fell to their knees. They dropped before this angel, and they were filled with great fear. They were overwhelmed with fear. They were overwhelmed with the reality that something was very unique here. This was not just a human being that had that walked up. This was not just any man. This was not just someone that had been wandering around in the wilderness at night and just happened to stumble upon their camp. That's not what was happening here. This was not a sweet angel with a halo over them that just glided into the camp. This was a heavenly visitation to a group of shepherds in the middle of the night. And they were overcome with fear. This was a normal response whenever someone in Scripture either encountered an angel or saw the glory of God, saw his presence, whether New Testament or Old Testament. Those who experienced the presence of the Holy God were all of a sudden aware of their sinfulness. They feel like the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Peter, likewise, when he witnessed Jesus, after witnessing a miracle performed by Jesus, he cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's really what sin does when we're brought before the presence of God, doesn't it? It condemns us. It convicts us. So the next scene, we see different aspects of the gospel, of the angel's actual announcement. In verse 10, after seeing the shepherd's obvious terror, the first words of the angelic message was, "Fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There is a sense in which it is right to fear God. The Bible tells us that the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9. And one day, Jesus will come and He will judge the world. And on that very day, all those who have rejected His reign, who have rejected His lordship, every unbelieving heart will have reason to fear. They will have reason to be afraid. But on this day, the shepherds didn't have a reason to fear, because the angel came bearing good news. The very term there, the use for good news, literally means the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. I bring you good news. I bring you the gospel of great joy. The good news of the gospel is that the saving God has sent His Savior to redeem sinners. And that news, the fact that He has sent His Son, the Savior, to redeem sinners, this produces joy. great joy. So you see, in just a moment, just with a word of the angel, the shepherds went from being in a state of great fear, of great terror, to great joy. A joy that Peter says in 1 Peter 1 is inexpressible. Words cannot describe it. And then verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is a very powerful verse. It's filled with a lot of information. The first thing that we see is this: "For unto you is born." He had been born for them, these despised shepherds, these outcasts, these sinners, these lowly people. It is for you he has been born. Collectively, Jesus is the Savior of both Jews and Gentiles. We see that there where it says that this is great news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is not for every single person on earth. But at that point, it's announcing that not only, but the Savior has come for not only Jews, but Gentiles. So that's for collectively, individually, he is a Savior for everyone who believes in him. Today your Savior is born. This good news is in the form of a person. Notice the angel didn't say, give the child's earthly name, but he gave titles. Savior, Christ, Lord. These titles can be described in three ways: his saving name, his supernatural name, and his sovereign name. The first one, Savior. Jesus did not come to be a good moral example. He did not come to be a passive guru or religious leader. Jesus did not come to be a popular political leader. He came as a Savior. He was born to save his people from their sins. We are not saved from our bad habits that have overtaken our lives. That's not the good news. The good news is that we are saved from the righteous wrath of God. The wrath of God that we deserve. The angel was proclaiming that salvation had come. The period of darkness is now over. The long-awaited king is here. Notice that the angel has not proclaimed that Muhammad is Savior. He's not proclaiming that Buddha is Savior. Or that Joseph Smith is Savior. But that Jesus is Savior. Acts 4:12 tells us there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, surely it doesn't mean that. As long as I'm a good person, or all roads lead to heaven, Muhammad is my Savior. Muhammad is just a different name for Jesus. That's not what my Bible says. It can't be any more clear. There is salvation in no one else, in no other name. Just here in kingdom, kingman? No, under heaven. There will be no other Savior who will come. There will be no other strong one who can deliver his people. Jesus is the Savior. The next title we're given is Christ. This is an exalted title for such a baby that began in such humble circumstances. The name comes from the Old Testament name Messiah, which means the Anointed One. This is the one who is anointed by God, the promised one of the Old Testament, the prophesied Messiah, the deliverer who would usher in the kingdom of peace and prosperity, the one placed in a high office that is worthy of exaltation and worship and praise and honor. And Peter confessed to Jesus in Matthew 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He is God's appointed King. So we have Savior. Not only is Jesus Savior, Christ, but He is Lord. This is His divine title, really, His sovereign name. This is an authoritative name. When people of great importance walk into a room, we rise to show honor. We rise to give respect. We come to our feet. But if Christ, the Lord, were to come into the room, we would all bow. We would all fall to our knees. To say that this child is Lord is to say that He is God. The most fundamental and basic confession of Christianity is that Jesus is Lord. Then the angels gave the shepherds a sign by which they could recognize this remarkable child. Verse 12, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the fact that the baby would be wrapped in swaddling cloths is would not single out Jesus. This is normal for a baby to be wrapped up. But Jewish mothers did not usually put their newborn babies into the manger. Manger was a feeding trough. We see this before our text in verse 7, that the account of Jesus' birth. "And she gave birth to the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the inn." So this manger is not really what we normally think of as a stable or a barn. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The manger is a feeding trough, and they can be placed anywhere where animals are kept, not just in barns. And really, the main point here is the sharp contrast that between Jesus' exaltation of Savior, Christ, and Lord, and then His birth is in a manger. It really emphasizes the fact that He emptied Himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. We see this pattern as you read through the Gospels, don't we? That really characterizes the entire life of Jesus. He who had no proper bed in infancy and would have none in adulthood. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." He was in complete humiliation. He was in complete humiliation when He came into this world and when He left. The Lord and giver of life, born a helpless, dependent child, and crucified as a criminal. In verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. An army of angels appeared, and they were doing what angels do, constantly praising God. All heaven broke loose with rejoicing at the birth of the Son of God. The angels knew Him before His incarnation, where they saw Him in His indescribable glory. They understood the effects of the fall on mankind. They knew that God had provided a way for salvation for man. And they had a deep concern for the salvation for sinners. We know that because Luke 15 tells us that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The angels rejoice and celebrate and praise God for every sinner that repents. The angels proclaimed in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." God will give peace to whom He is pleased. Those who put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. The next scene, verses 15 through 20. How are we to respond to this great message? This great message that for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Christ has come. Your Lord is here. How are we to respond to that? Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So the shepherds decided to go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, verse 16 and 17, and they went with haste. They didn't waste time. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So there was an announcement made to the shepherds, and now the shepherds are there to be witnesses and to make an announcement to Mary and Joseph and to all those who are present. They went quickly and made it known. When they heard the message, they went to make the message known. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. When the shepherds left, when they had shared with Mary and Joseph and those around the story that they had heard about this child, they left. They left and they were with such determination to glorify God. And the shepherds had received this message from God and they believed it. They had heard this announcement by the angel of the Lord. And then when they heard it, they went out preaching and proclaiming and spreading it. They were great witnesses for this message. They delivered the message of what they had seen and what they had heard, what they had experienced. If you are so blessed to hear this good news, to experience the grace and mercy of our Lord. We are to make it known. We are to respond to this good news, to this good news of great joy, just as the shepherds did. We are to respond in such a way that we can't keep it bottled up. We can't be closet Christians. It's not simply enough to know the story, to know this good news. We must believe it like the shepherds did. It's not enough to know, just know the story. Later on in this story, we see that Herod hears the story and he responds in rage. It's not enough to know that Christ is born in Bethlehem. It's not enough just to know that he was born and lived a sinless life, a good life. The devil knows that. The demons know that. And even they have an emotional response. No, when we hear this story, when we respond to this story, when we experience the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, we bear the burden to share that story, to be witnesses for Christ. We have to bear the burden of this message. There's a great burden to knowing this truth. The burden is to tell everyone. We have the information that saves people. If you had the cure for an incurable disease, would you keep it to yourself? If you stumbled across the cure for cancer, would you keep it to yourself? You would tell everyone. Everyone that you encountered, you would share this information. And you would tell them to share this information. That's good news. And even so, it doesn't compare to this good news. We must respond to this message, to this great news. We must respond in repentance and in belief. And then we must proclaim it. Share it excitedly, boldly. Grab them by the beard and strike them down if you need to. They need to hear this story. We cannot keep it to ourselves. The shepherds told everyone they knew. I want us to finish noticing that this, the cause and the effect of this. That it's not right to see that the cause is that we hear this message. And we can't help but share it with others. It's what we're called to do. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. I pray that during this season, during this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, birth of our Christ and Lord. I pray that we share it with great joy, that we share it often, and that we share it with excitement. But Father, I do pray for those that may be here and do not believe this message. They have not trusted in Christ as their Savior. In fact, it may even anger them, this story. And for them, I pray that you give them a new heart. Change their lives here and today. Don't let them walk out of this building the same way they came in. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we respond to God's word?